Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself, who's, I can see in the video screen, doing a very weird expression, two thumbs up, cheeky grin.
Hey.
It's Pete Donaldson.
I'm just doing a little cheeky grin and two thumbs up. I'm excited. We very rarely record podcasts at the weekend. That's what we're doing, through the curtain and all that. We're recording podcasts at the weekend. And
it's a wacky weekend.
It's a wacky weekend.
To who?
Aren't we wacky? Isn't it wacky, eh? Yes. It's How have you been, Chris? You all right? You don't have to film a video.
Yeah. I'm doing rather well. As someone who's running around like a maniac. I'm filming a video at the moment about things I don't like in Japan.
Okay.
And it's been fun so far. I've got a list of 12 things. Number 12 is the key to success on YouTube, Pete. If you want a title with big views, I don't know why the number 12 is the sweet spot. Number 10 doesn't deliver. 12's
like
the number,
I'm not getting enough, to be honest. 10 is I'm not getting
exactly
enough. 12 is I'm sated, I'm calm after a delicious meal of YouTube goodness. It's like but I found very much putting a lady on the front of your videos, as discussed in the last show, is actually the key to success, certainly at our nascent and burgeoning level.
Yeah, I mean, my editor Dave showed me a YouTube channel that had like lots of YouTube shorts on it, right?
Right.
And all the YouTube shorts were like 20,000 views, 30,000 views. And then there was one where he'd put his girlfriend in the thumbnail.
Right.
And it was like 800,000 views. And it's like, Jesus, what is it? Why? But, you know, he willingly admitted himself. He's like, oh, yeah, I clicked on it too. And I was like, you're part of the problem, Dave. You're
part of the problem,
And I fired him out of a window into a fucking wall. Yeah, I don't know, honestly. Maybe I should just get some girls, put them in the thumbnails.
Get some girls, put them in the thumbnail. That's how you do YouTube.
Misogynistic Abroad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw an interesting video this week. Charlotte showed it to me. On Twitter, there was a video of racism doing the rounds. Racism that they have in Japan now.
Yeah.
Do you like racism, Pete?
Oh, look, I can't get enough of it. You know what? It's an inexhaustive source. You know, there's always going to... There's so much of it around. If you're into racism, it must be so satisfying. It's like sort of being really into, I don't know, pears and having your own pear tree. There's always racism. It's brilliant.
That's the spirit. Always bringing positivity to the
party. I've said it before. If we could run a car on anti-Semitism, it's been happening for like centuries. God. Like if we could run it on that, like it never seems to go away. You think that you've got over it. You think everyone's got over it, but yet there's more of it. There's Kanye West on fucking Twitter talking about the Jews and stuff. It drives me wild. Get over it, guys, and find something new.
It's true.
Yeah.
There is racism. People are idiots. And this week, there was a video going around on Twitter. I think if you type in Harajuku racism, it should come up on Twitter somewhere.
Okay.
Basically, I think it's a Mexican couple in an avocado restaurant in Harajuku.
Are you making this story up with an algorithm?
Right. And it's at this restaurant, apparently, you can either pay 400 yen to get a free avocado, which is
an avocado
coffee, milkshake.
Right, yeah? Okay.
And you can pay 400 yen. Or you can follow them on Instagram and get the same Ava Pacini. I don't know what Ava Pacini is. I'm assuming it's great. But anyway, this Mexican couple, I think they followed on Instagram. And they went and got up. They got up and ordered their food. And then they went over, poured their Ava Pacinis and went back to their table.
Right.
And the woman came over as they were eating their lunch. The one of the members of staff came over and was like, "Why did you get the Ava Pacini? Why did you get it?" And they were like, "Because it said we could." And she was like, "No, I hate you." She was like, "Unfollow me now. Unfollow this restaurant and get out." And the woman and the Mexican girl, and she was speaking Japanese, credit where it's due to her, even though I think she was just a tourist over here. Mm. She was like, "Shouldn't staff..." I think she said something like, "Shouldn't staff be nice to customers? Like, yasashikete..." Like, you know. And she was like, "No." The woman went, "No, this is Japan. We can do what we want. Don't ask me about my job. Don't ask what I'm doing. Get out." And the Mexican couple are like shaking. They're like just trying to stab away at their avocado and sip at the Ava Pacini. And they just don't know what's going on. They're shaking in fear. And she's like, "Get out. I'm going to call the police. This is Japan." And the Mexican couple's like, okay. And she runs off and gets the police and throws them out the store. And I think, even though it's not in the video that I saw, apparently the police officer comes over and the woman's like, "That you can hear her on the call to the police being like, they're disrupting the restaurant. Foreigners. There's a foreign man, a foreign woman. They've taken all the Ava Pacini." And then this poor couple just sitting there like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
And I don't know if the member of staff was just straight up a bit racist or a bit of a twat, but it's very bizarre. And I don't know what's going on. I think the fact that she kept saying, "This is Japan. We make it the rules. Take the Ava Pacini when I say so." It's a very odd video. Go and check it out. See what you make of it. I thought about doing a reaction to it, but it just made me angry. And I feel sorry for the couple who are just trying to enjoy their holiday and eat an avocado.
I mean,
well, I think we should go, Pete.
I mean, they probably had better treatment. They probably had worse treatment. They're probably happy that they had such good treatment compared to the sort of treatment they get north of the border.
Oh, God. But there you go. Bit of fun there to kick off the podcast this week. We've got a story.
Bit of racist fun.
Bit of racist fun. We've got a story from Asia. Asia from Guam. Asia from Guam. Greetings from Guam. Cogent? What does cogent or cogent mean?
Cogent. Doesn't it mean together or... It means... cogent. As in it's together. It's correct.
I'll take it.
Cogent.
Let's move on. Cogent, Chris.
That.
You look it up
cogent.
And I read the bloody
cogent.
Story
cogent.
Out.
Yeah.
And you got pristine Pete, so pristine's a lot bloody easier.
Clear, logical and convincing. Cogent.
Cogent argument. Now. That sounds better than affable. I'll take that. Cogent Chris.
Right.
My story is from summer 2019 in Osaka, specifically in Dotonbori. I was standing in line with my two elder siblings and my boyfriend waiting to buy a dango. Now, dango is sort of smashed up rice that's turned into a rice cake.
Nice.
With a bit of sugar. It's rather nice indeed. Ooh. And it's on a stick. While we were there, stood in line, I noticed a Japanese woman in her mid-20s pacing back and forth about 10 metres. She would have just been another face in the crowd, but she passed us at least 10 times. The woman was Japanese, but her makeup was very Western. Smoky eyes and dark red lips. I thought it was interesting, because the usual Japanese makeup look is more of a natural look. She was wearing casual clothes, a tight long sleeve shirt and skinny jeans. She didn't carry a bag or wallet, which also seemed kind of strange. Every so often, a large crowd would pass, and I noticed that the woman would stop in the path of men and ask something real quick. They would shake their head and pass by. She did this... I wonder where this is going. She did this about 15 more times before it started raining, and we took cover at a nearby Starbucks, causing me to lose sight of the woman. As we left, though, she seemed to have stopped two college-age boys and looked pretty friendly with them, running her fingers across her chest and laughing super hard at what they were saying. Me and my sister got separated from my boyfriend and older brother and a youngish guy with silver hair, and what would be interpreted as BDSM fetish wear was standing at a corner shouting at us, "Where are you going, beautiful ladies?" "That way," my sister nervously pointed. "I go with you," he shouted. "No, no, thank you," I said as we hurried away, anxiously laughing about the whole awkward interaction. Do either of you guys have stories being approached by ladies of the night or men? Best wishes, Asia from Guam.
Men of the night. Men of the night.
Bloody. Men of the night. I mean, This is what a ridiculous story. Is this just a story about I saw a prostitute
in
the street? Is
maybe
that the story?
Maybe Asia from Guam doesn't. Maybe just Guam doesn't have a lot of people, you know, soliciting for work on the street, so to speak.
No, I mean, it's very common in Shibuya. There's a street going up the hill away from Shibuya, crossing to Dogenzaka, and it's there that you will get. Sort of a lot of people come up to you and be like, who wants a massage?
Yeah.
And then they'll sort of drag you off. I think I inquired once, so I was drunk. I was like, how much is a massage? And because I was like, oh, I'd like a massage now. And they, and then they were like, sex. I was like, oh, no.
Sex.
And I was like, oh, crap. And I was like, I need to get back to my upper hotel room now. And I
don't tell them where you live.
And they literally followed me up the street for 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, dear. So never, even in a joke, want a massage, don't engage.
It reminds me of being on that very street. And my mate Craig, Craig got flustered when he was approached by someone. And he said, oh, sorry, I'm jet lagged. And she went, blowjob, good for jet lag. I was like, Craig, it's very hard to argue with that line of arguing. I guess it
Poor
is.
Poor old Craig.
Never mind.
Is Craig your friend that always gets like dragged through hell on every trip to Asia?
Pretty much, yeah. He's the one who I gave several degrees of sunburn in Korea once when we were out and about, and I had an absolute breakdown that I couldn't order a taxi because my hands were covered in hot sauce from the chicken, and it's a long story, but it ended up with me
a very British
literally
holiday.
Having a fucking breakdown because I was too hot. I'm too hot.
Oh my God.
I'm in Jeju and I'm too hot. Deary me.
Well, what's going on in the news of the week in Japan this week, Mr. Dawson? Anything fun going down in Japan?
Well, define fun, Chris.
A night out in Shibuya, clearly.
Well, yeah. I mean, if your night out in Shibuya ends certain ways, because you know it's a dangerous part of Tokyo, but apart from it's probably the only part of Japan that's legitimately dangerous for people there and parts of Osaka, you would say. But if you take the wrong decision, take the wrong fork in the road, you may end up dead. And may end up being cremated in Japan. Kyoto are planning to sell cremated people's metal fillings for millions of yen. A lot of M's in that sentence, a lot of L's in that sentence. But have you got any fillings, Chris?
I think I've got one, yes. And I don't want to sell it for millions of yen.
Because, I mean, I guess, do they still use kind of precious metals? Do they still use gold and platinum and all that jazz?
Yeah, I heard somebody tell me they used mercury the other day, which sounds very dangerous.
That sounds like that's not the case, surely.
It does sound like a lie. It's like asbestos fillings, right?
Like a really slow, like those little tablets that they give like prisoners of war to commit suicide. It's like that, but very slow. Very, very slow.
Oh, well, I did chip my front tooth once, and they put some sort of magical clay on it that sort of looks like enamel. And that's good. Because I don't like the silver fillings. They look pretty awful.
Dark,
but if I can cash them in now in Kyoto, well, it's got a lot more appealing all of a sudden.
Well, I don't actually... I'm 41, and because I grew up in a rather low-income area, let's say, they do tend to put more fluoride in the water. I've spoke about this before. So I think my teeth are bloody strong compared to most the rest of the country. So I don't think I've got any... So I've not got any fillings. And I'm 41. I'm quite proud of that fact. So you will hear me repeat it several times on this podcast. But in Japan... there's not a lot of burials going on. You do see graveyards around the place, but the space is paramount, certainly in the cities and stuff. So they do tend to be cremated in Japan. It's an energy intensive process and it requires very specialised equipment. I went to one quite recently, in fact. And take Kyoto City. They've only got one major crematorium in the city, and to make things more troublesome, in the Kansai regions of Japan, in Kyoto and Nara, there's a very old custom of the bereaved only removing certain bones of the deceased after cremation and transporting them to the family grave. So you cremate most of the body, but then they've got that chopsticky thing, haven't they, where they sort of pick up little bits of bone and kind of like manipulate them, I think, isn't it? Within the ashes and stuff like that. And then
you sort of sift the bones out in the cremation. So that's why, you know, you're not allowed to put your chopsticks upright.
Yeah.
They have that as part of the funeral ceremony, and they sort of pick up bones with chopsticks. bit grisly. I don't want to do that anytime
it's quite,
soon.
It's quite grisly, yeah. So they put... so basically, they take all of the ashes from bodies and they bury them in the crematorium on their own premises. But if you can imagine, there are... I think there was between April and December last year, there was 13,000 cremations. So they've got 39 tons of ash generated that they've got to bloody get rid of somehow. And it's a financial, it's financially difficult to get rid of all these ashes, basically.
This is just Kyoto, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's just Kyoto. And the breakdown of the metals that were found in the tray after the body's been cremated, 7.1 kilograms of gold. That's between April and December last year.
Oh, my God.
7.1 kilograms of gold. 0.2 kilograms of platinum. I mean, I guess there'll be, like, metal hips and stuff presumably getting melted down as well. 21.1 kilograms of silver and 62 kilograms of palladium. And that all adds up to 119 million yen in precious metals. And that's, like, under a year's worth of bits and bobs. And so the city's currently discussing whether they should sell the precious metals and save the money for use when the funeral hall needs renovations, or throw it away. I mean, it's quite a waste that you're just throwing away that amount of precious metals. But as you can imagine, Kyoto City... I mean, they could do what they want fundamentally, and there is legal precedence supporting the ownership of the remains, but they're kind of like... And there's no way of sort of distinguishing, because it's just a big blob of metal, whose bit of metal belongs where. And so they're in a situation where they're not sure whether to sell it, whether to bury it, whether to just keep it for a rainy day. But it's an interesting kind of like... It's the sort of things you don't sort of think about when it comes to like the cremating process. If you've got a really busy crematorium, you're going to be in a situation where there's going to be loads of like mad metals kicking around.
I can see the cash symbols in Pete Donaldson's eyes.
I can,
already,
yeah. Mate.
The Donaldson crematorium.
I literally can't talk about it without a bursting of tears. But I went to a dog crematorium quite recently, and fucking hell, that is a hustle. That is a hustle and a half.
Really?
All you need is a big furnace and a potter cabin somewhere like in a patch of farming land. Absolute bunts, baby. They don't even have to work weekends. Bunts.
Jesus. I mean, about 119 million yen. That's about $1 million or so, right?
Yeah.
If my calculations are correct. Slightly less now, if we're given Japan's weak yen. But $1 million, that's a good amount of money. It's a cynical, sinister way to get $1 million, but maybe it can plug Kyoto's debt pile that's built up over the last 2-3 years of having no tourists. So, yes, Kyoto looking desperately to find ways of making money, it seems. Great way to plug that hole.
Plug that hole with a
God,
filling.
God, story. Plug it with 7 kilograms of gold, 6 kilograms of palladium. Jesus.
Knowing Japan, they'll just buy a big statue of an octopus. It's like, oh, for crying out loud. You idiots.
The palladium octopus. That'll be so good. That's a really cool palladium octopus. That sounds like an aftershave out of Kyoto.
Yeah.
I love it. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine. Palladium octopus. Yes.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
All right, Chris, back off the mic a bit.
Palladium octopus.
Ramona Harrison has got in touch. A Brit living in the Netherlands, an excellent choice, has to be said. Dear Chris and Pete, in your Journey Across Japan video featuring the Dutch theme park, Hui Ten Bosch, I think.
House Ten Bosch.
Say again. How?
House Ten Bosch.
House Ten Bosch, right. You briefly show the Dom Tower of Utrecht. I live in Utrecht, and this year Utrecht donated a chunk of the tower to the theme park for its 30th anniversary.
Oh,
that's cool, isn't it?
Wow.
The Dom Tower sounds like a sounds like somewhere you'd go to be with the S&M man. My question to Chris is this. I have started a YouTube channel to show off some of the coolest things about Utrecht. However, I still find it hard filming in crowded places. How did you get over that? Kind regards, Ramona Harrison, a Brit living in the Netherlands. How did you get across? How did you get over filming in Japan and filming in the streets?
I mean, it took a lot of practice. First of all, House Ten Bosch, it's in a video called I Stayed the Night in Japan's Biggest Theme Park. It was a journey across Japan last year. I was there with Joey and Natsuki, and oh my god, really cool theme park. You would love it, Pete. You've got to go there. It's a slice of, you know,
pie.
What's it modeled on, really? Just Amsterdam and bits and pieces of, you know, Holland. Really cool. Highly recommend going there. But how do I get over filming in crowded places? You just have to switch it off. I was filming in front of Sendai Station the other day, and now that tourists are back, it's a given that I'm going to get spotted when I'm out and about quite a lot. Right. And I have to accept that as part of the job, right? And in fact, I was spotted by two very nice... I think I said, actually, two very nice Mormon guys while I was filming. But, you know, people look, people stare, but nobody interferes, really. It's not like the UK, where if you film outside, someone runs over and goes, "Oh, dickhead!" And, you know, in Japan, people are very respectful. One of the easiest countries to film out and about in the world. So as long as your YouTube channels... Oh, it's in Utrecht, so I don't know how that's going to go down. Europeans are different. But honestly, you just have to ask yourself, what's the worst that could happen? And often it's not that bad. I think you'll be fine. I mean, how did you get over it, Pete? You must have filmed out and about in public before. I imagine you don't care.
I find the bigger the camera, the more people want to just stare at you. And actually we all do it to a certain extent. I've talked about it before, where you look at someone and they're filming in the street and you're like, well, I don't know who they are. How dare they?
I don't
know who. Who do they think they are filming? Filming with a fucking filming. Fucking filming.
Well, straight after we finish tonight's podcast, I've got to go and film out and about in the streets of Sendai once again.
Ooh la la.
And yeah, I find one secret recently has been to use a pin mic, a lav mic, right?
Yeah, okay.
And just have that on me and remove the shotgun mic, the big sort of booming mic above the camera, because that is the bit that brings in attention. When people see the microphone, that's when they're like, whoa, a video's happening. If it's just a normal camera, though, they don't care. They think it's just a photo. So that mic, if you get nervous, remove the mic from the equation, put a lav mic on, like a pin mic, and often they're cheaper as well. And that is one way of getting around it. We've got a question here from Ash in London. Hello, Catcher Chris and Pitcher Pete. In Japan, the nation of baseball fans, we've been led to believe it is. Have either of you ever delved into Japanese baseball? And if so, do you have any tips for seeing a game? Many thanks, Ash in London. I am not your man. I've never seen a baseball game. I've seen one, actually, when I was working at North Japan's biggest school. I watched my students play for a bit and then I got bored. It's not me. I don't do sports. Pete, you like sports. Do you play baseball? Do you know what baseball is?
I've been in a batting cage a few times in Japan. Really hurts your hands.
I've done
really
that.
Really
yeah.
hurts your hands. I've not done any baseball shows in Japan. It's up near Korakuen Hall, isn't it? The big Tokyo one. It's up near it's up sort of northeast of the main stretch of Tokyo. But been to a couple of. I went to the Mets recently. That was fun. A lot of fun. I went to the Atlanta Braves and it was 0-0-0-0-0-0-1. Really rubbish match. And then I went to see the Mets and it was a much high scoring game. And the thing that I noticed about like baseball fans, because they play so many matches, like they could be playing on like a Sunday and then a Tuesday and then a Friday or whatever, the fans never seem that dejected when they lose. Like the vibe is, even if it's just been a really close
thing,
never seem that kind, because we're like, well, we'll be back in 2 days.
Yeah, and I find that with Japan, people don't get as ferociously sort of tribal like as we do in the UK over, say, soccer, football, whatever. You know, people in the UK live and die by the football, whereas here I've never met anyone who's like super crazily into baseball in that sort of obsessive, scary way.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just the UK. We got one here from Andy. He says, "Dear Splendiferous Pete and Illustrious Chris, I'm a Londoner writing from Tokyo as I type this out. Would either of you say that there are any everyday food items that are overhyped and any that are underhyped? Good luck with your boxing match, Chris. Good on you, Pete, for being yourself." Andy.
Oh.
Everyday food items overhyped and underhyped. Any thoughts, Pete?
I'm getting a lot of love on Twitter for I'll read one out. Brandon A. Gibor. Me finding out Coolish is literally just vanilla ice cream in a bag.
Yeah, now that everyone's come back, they've either been loving or hating Pete Donaldson's beloved Coolish ice cream. Everyday feed items overhyped. I don't know, really. I'm trying to think. I'm not very good at this. Moss Burger. Moss Burger's overhyped. I'm doing a video in a minute where I talk about how much I hate Moss Burger. It's Japan's local burger chain. It's very underwhelming. Some people are like, it's just so brilliant and different.
Mm.
But it's not. It's shit. It's shit. It's imagine a lackluster burger bun with unimpressive bread and no flavour and no love and potatoes that are just wooden and dull in a basket. Nothing is good about it, and I'm not happy that in about 1 hour's time, even though my stomach is literally rumbling as I speak right now, I've got to go and eat a Moss Burger.
Right, okay.
Oh, get a Freshness Burger.
What is
Freshness Burger's underrated.
What is Moss Burger? What is Moss Burger kind of? What is it like? What does it stand for? MOS. What was the, you know?
Well, they put a portion of moss in every burger.
Oh, good. Yeah, I thought that was the case. Yeah, good.
I wish I didn't laugh there. I was going to try and rumble you.
Absolutely.
I don't think you'd have fallen for that.
You know what? I probably would have not fallen for that.
Damn. Pete Donaldson's gullibility levels. Yeah, I don't know why it's called Moss Burger. I don't know what Moss stands for. Ooh. What does Moss stand for in Moss Burger?
Yeah. Find out.
I'm typing
Someone
it
tell
out.
Us.
Right now.
All right.
What does
now.
Moss Burger...
You've got quite a keyboard than I have.
I wasn't really thinking what I typed out, and I wrote, what Moss does Moss Burger now?
What moss does Moss Burger know?
What moss does Moss Burger know? Moss mean?
There's the title
in moss
of the podcast. What moss does Moss Burger know?
It's like the sort of crap you'd find on a jumper. Okay, this is interesting. I've just found out what moss means. And this is the one interesting thing you've got to learn on today's podcast. Moss, and I shit you not, it stands for mountain, ocean and sun. It means standing tall and firm like a mountain, having a heart that is broad and deep as the ocean, and having passion like the sun that never burns out. That is our founder's never-ending love for human beings and nature.
See?
And they have 400 Moss Burger branches.
Have you not kind of fallen back in love with Moss Burger after that?
Oh my god!
Impassioned speech.
I mean, that's really good, actually. I didn't know that, and now I can talk about that in the video.
Exactly.
Fun fact, Moss Burger was born in near Ikebukuro, Tokyo. They've got an original menu. There are 1,300 Moss Burgers in Japan.
Mm.
400 are located overseas, and they feature original sauce, with crispy lettuce, fresh tomatoes, savoury patties, all made to order, using selected vegetables and other ingredients. I don't care. It's still rubbish. It's still got nothing on a good, juicy, heart-stopping American burger. Get it done right. Or get a freshness burger. Freshness burger. I don't know why. Freshness burger just tastes better. And that's Japan's other burger chain. So there's one thing to go for when you come to Japan. Avoid mountains, ocean and sea burger and go for... I can't believe that. That's what it means.
Yeah, there you go.
Did that surprise you as much as it surprised me?
There's always some silly nonsense, isn't there? I just thought it was like a shortening of something. There's always some silly, silly stuff.
The owner, Takeshi Moss. good Lord. I feel it's weird that I'm reading that out. I felt a certain sense of guilt now that I'm about to destroy it in a video in front of millions of people. I'm about to take it down a peg. But I'm sorry, Mossberger. It's just not good enough. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Ta-ta!
Mountains, oceans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.